Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher, Chefs in the City. It's not your imagination. Chefs in the City has been on hiatus for about 6 months. We have slightly changed the format. We'll talk about that more today with my two co-hosts. Joining me, WOSU food critic and blogger Rich Terapak. Welcome back, Rich.
Thank you. Good to be back, Ann.
And WOSU food critic and blogger Steve Stover. Welcome back, Steve.
Thanks, Ann.
Listeners, before we move on, I wanted to tell you what's going on these days with Chefs in the City. It's still going to be once a month, the first Friday of every month. We're still going to have guest chefs, but we're going to go with a monthly theme that will include the chef, a recipe, and reviews. So there'll be a theme. And for example, next month is Sarah Black of Flowers and Bread in Clintonville. And we're going to be talking about bread baking and the best bread in town and where you can, who has the best bread baskets in town, perhaps. So we're going to kind of take that tack. We're going to take listener calls, of course, but we're going to hold them till the final segment. So if you have ideas, if you have questions, give us a call, 614-292-8513. But you might have to wait. We're going to take those in the final segment. If you're going to post your question or comment, you can post it on Facebook, but go to the Chefs in the City Facebook page and check that out and post it there. That's what we'll be looking for. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. Steve and Rich are cooking teachers. They teach cooking. They teach wonderful cooking and, in fact, are celebrating 35 years together teaching cooking. That's what gives them their creed, right? So congratulations, for first of all, guys.
We have to ask the students about the creed.
I don't think you can last for 35 years and not have some creed one way or the other.
We haven't killed each other. Yeah. That's the best part.
Right? So congratulations. Close. And then there's a story coming up in the Dispatch next week about that.
Yep.
We don't know what Lisa Abrahams is going to write.
I'm sure.
There'll be some recipes in that as well.
Yeah, so there'll be recipes there. Beginning in June, we'll post a link for every restaurant we talk about on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. So you can look back later on, go to the website. And if you have questions or what were they talking about or what was this or that, we'll post a link to those restaurants. Most of them have websites now. If they don't, at least we'll post the name and the location. So that's kind of what we're doing. If you have a question or comment about that, you can give us a call at WOSU.org/allsides and talk to my producer about what your questions are, and we'll try to answer them. But without further ado, we have been off for about 6 months, Rich and Steve, and a lot has changed. Steve, you said it's one of the most momentous periods of time in Columbus restaurant history.
I know, it's been busy. I've been freaking out because there's so much interesting to talk about that it's really been hard to resist.
And the velocity of change is amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Rooftop gardens is one – or rooftop bars is one thing. The craft beer. You had that great show on craft beer. Uh-huh. But even since then, there have been BrewDog has come to Columbus and opened.
Pretty soon you'll be able to go stay in their hotel.
I know.
Yeah, that's cool.
Up in not Lancaster, but
Canal Winchester.
Winchester, right.
But a beer-centric hotel, I'm anxious to see.
Well, and that's good because maybe Uber doesn't go that far.
But they've got a pub food menu now and a brewery and a shop and a dog-friendly environment and a patio in the works. And it's going to be called the Doghouse Hotel. And a sour brewery. Do you know what that is?
Uh-uh.
I think it's another kind of beer called sour beer. And actually, Rock Mill was going to do sour beer. I don't know if they have, but they were thinking about it. But that's number one. Platform from Cleveland has come to Columbus over sort of near Cleveland Avenue. It was an old meatpacking plant near Columbus State. They put in a brewery. They have 26 taps. BrewDog only has 12, but they're going to have 24. So you want to be sure to taste every beer that they have on tap. They're having rotating pop-up restaurants, and they also have a patio and a rooftop deck.
Which is going to be a thing.
That's it.
Except on days like today, but it will be nice.
And then the guy from – used to be at Gordon Biersch and Columbus Brewing, Keith Jackson, just opened Combustion.
Yeah.
So we already had probably 35 – you know, craft breweries in Columbus. And so and then Matthew Barbie in the last 6 months opened his Rock Mill Tavern, which is for me, along with maybe Bonifacio, the Filipino restaurant, the top new restaurants for 2016.
Why do you say that?
I just – when we went there, we just had fabulous food.
Yeah. It's good. It's creative. It's not just gastro pub food. It's a cut above.
And only 9 items on the menu. Yeah. Andrew Smith, who was the opening chef at Salt and Pine, did it. And it was really good. And the beer was good. And the food went well with the beer, but they still had good wine.
Try the chicken sandwich.
The fried chicken sandwich was just – and the burger was pretty good.
Good.
And it comes with a knife.
You can do a flight of their beers, which is nice. Just, you know, ounce portions of 7 or 8 different beers.
And the Craft Beer Festival is coming up next week.
Right.
The 12th to the 20th. You talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite restaurant name in all of Columbus is a beer center.
What?
favorite restaurant.
It's one of those Italian village places, which is a combination of it's a joint venture by the Al Shahal brothers of Crest and a group, I think, out of Medina. The name of the brewery in Medina is Who Farted.
Oh, Hoof Hearted.
Say it quickly 3 times.
H-O-O-F-Hearted.
Yes, I know Hoof Hearted. You love it.
It's
a gorgeous place.
It is a gorgeous
place.
And
I like the food I had there.
Yeah. And in the summertime, you can sit outside. There's a pool next door. You can kind of watch what goes by. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, and they have had a lot of fun during Craft Beer Week
at
Hoof Hearted in the past. So be worth checking out.
Speaking of booze.
Yeah.
Watershed opened a restaurant in Grand. It's in Grandview. It might be in Columbus. Grandview. It's just off of Northwest Boulevard near First Avenue. It looks pretty weird when you go in. It looks like a warehouse, but it's there. It was their distillery, and I'd been there for tastings and stuff like that. But they have a full service restaurant with a real chef with roots in the Greenhouse Tavern in Cleveland, and very good food.
It is so good. We've been trying to get in on a weekend.
Really?
And I think probably 2 weeks in a row I called on maybe a Wednesday and Thursday to see if I could get a Saturday evening. Sure, at 4:45 or at 10 o'clock you can get in. And I said, what is this? And the receptionist tells me that she couldn't even get in. It takes 3 weeks to get a reservation on a Friday or Saturday, so it must be worthwhile. Go in there.
We could go for the early bird special.
We could go on a Thursday
or something. The blue haired
special. Exactly.
Go on a Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, we went, and I want to go back and try the short ribs. Jim Boudreaux like the short ribs and the fried chicken. Another thing coming up is Middle West Spirits, the other distillery,
right?
Just off Fifth Avenue. Is opening their restaurant this summer. It's been delayed. It's going to be called the Service Bar. And the chef is Avishar Barua, who used to be at Veritas. I think he was the opening chef at Veritas Tavern, which is Columbus Monthly's number one restaurant.
Which is moving.
Where is it moving?
Veritas is coming downtown. It's leaving.
Breaking news.
Leaving Delaware, although they still have their, 1805?
1808.
1808 bar restaurant up there. And they're coming to Columbus. What's the location?
It's going to be at Gay and High. And they're.
Is that the old Madison building?
Wow, I think it's the old Madison.
Think, yeah,
remember,
okay.
It was just down forever. And we've seen some construction.
There's also an old bank building.
A lot of people might not remember old Madison building. I remember old Madison building because that's where Madison's was. One of the few places to shop downtown before.
I just walked by it and then the whole frontage has been removed. And
it says the old Citizens Bank building at 52 North High.
Okay.
At Gay.
That would be on the other side.
That would
across
be
the street.
Southeast corner.
That's a new build then, because I think whole thing is constructed.
It's
you mean the south?
Southeast,
okay. Yeah, that's
southeast.
The old back.
It's where the Blondie's place was.
Blondie's, the brownie place. Yeah.
And they're going to have a second floor bar, and what they normally do is artisan, small plates, really artistic and also sometimes a little edgy. Which I really like.
Some edge when what was the place on the Sage place on North High Street? Was it Angry Bear?
Angry Bear, yes.
Yeah, Angry Bear.
Another closing.
Yeah, which closed it, which was really good for edginess, but apparently we weren't ready for it.
A little too.
I still remember my meal there.
I took a long walk down through the Short North a couple weeks ago and was stunned. I mean, I know I don't get out a lot. I'm kind of,
you
know.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's unreal. And it was a really nice day. And the al fresco thing, not just outdoors, but where they can open up the whole front end
right.
of the restaurant. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. We're really cosmopolitan these days.
It's convenient. Yeah. It looks good.
Pearl does that, I think. Yep. Yeah, it's just incredible. And and a lot of it is due to the hard work of Cameron Mitchell, who happens to be sort of invading beyond his five restaurants, adding two more. Is that right, Steve?
Three
right
more.
Here
three
in
more.
Columbus.
Are there five restaurants? I was trying to make a list. It's got
Pearl, Martini,
Marcella's, Martini, Guild House, and I think something else. But the big news is they're going to be. It was just announced that
he's taking over
Rigsby's.
Oh,
and
okay.
Rich has some breaking news about that. But then I talked to Steve Weiss, who's their director of development, and there's a new build where that parking lot used to be right across from Rigsby's almost.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be two different things. There are going to be two concepts in here, a 5,000-square-foot restaurant and a rooftop bar on the ninth floor. Rooftop bar comes up again.
Right.
Yeah. I hope we get good weather.
Now, he said they don't know the concept, but they're going to be complementary either in food or in atmosphere or something like that. They're trying to connect them in some ways. But we heard last night we heard a rumor.
Okay.
Unsubstantiated.
Rumor alert.
The Rigsby's could be something like a deli like Russ and Daughters
in
New York City.
Boudreaux's found out about that. So we have an honest, Manhattan.
But I think we're going to have to call it Cameron Mitchell's in quotes Short North, because there are at least going to be seven in just about three or four blocks.
It's going to be a Carnegie type thing, not so much Katzinger's like.
Okay.
So it's, the huge corned beef sandwiches and all of that kind of stuff. So
Amy on Facebook, by the way, has said that Hoofhearted is from Marengo.
Well,
Ohio.
That's right. It was one of those M words.
It was M something. But Amy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy, for
giving us that update. In the meantime, I think Hoofhearted, the restaurant brewery, is on 4th.
Yes.
North 4th.
North 4th, right?
Fifth and or third.
You're trying to think what the intersection is.
Well, Kosciuszko, which we'll probably talk about, is at 3rd and 4th. And then over on Summit,
is
where the Market Italian Village.
35 years ago, when you guys started all this, I mean, isn't it shocking?
Not
it
in
is
your
shocking.
Life.
Just in a million years.
Really
it's awesome. Well, and it's not all super fancy expensive. Uh-uh. So much of it's accessible, more accessible than ever.
Well, that's
when I was a kid, I worked in that neighborhood. My dad was a principal at the United Commercial Travelers, which is where the Pizzuti Museum is.
Okay. Same building, right?
There was nothing there. Yeah. Nothing there. It was Skid Row. The only place to eat was that Coney shop. So you packed your lunch and you went to Goodale Park, which was kind of dangerous.
At the time, right.
And it's just incredible that why didn't I at age 21 buy something there?
But there's always maybe 10 years ago there were options along North 4th. So, that's shot too late.
Well, North 4th was really bad, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And credit to Kent Rigsby for really being a pioneer in the Short North.
Right.
And I don't know who's responsible, but there's this whole thing, North Abroad. Rich talked about that last night. North Abroad, we'll talk about some of all the things that are going on there.
Well, all the stuff that we're somewhat into that with the stuff in Italian Village, the market and Hoofhearted and Fox in the Snow and Kosciuszko, which is Spanish for harvest because it's owned by the harvest people.
And you did a blog on that, did you? Yep.
It's really pretty.
You are listening to the rebooted All Sides Chefs in the City. My guests today, my co-hosts, Steve Stover, WSU food critic and blogger, and his fellow WSU food critic and blogger, Rich Terapak. They both happen to also teach cooking. That's where they get their chops from. So, we have a lot in store for you in the coming months. I hope you'll join us and stay with us right now. We're going to talk about what's new in the restaurant business since Chefs in the City went silent about 6 months ago. We're back Chefs in the City is back. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to the new Chefs in the City on All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Joining me, WSU food critic and blogger Rich Terapak. Rich, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Ann.
And WSU food critic and blogger Steve Stover.
Hello.
Welcome back, Steve. We've been talking about the rebooted Chefs in the City program, which begins today and continues on the first Friday of the month, hopefully for a good long while. A lot has happened in the Columbus food scene since chefs went on hiatus 6 months ago. We can't cover every blip. There's too much. But Steve and Rich, I did want to hear about the closings you think that matter. But first, we wanted to look at, you know, we're trying to segment the city a little bit here. North of Maine.
North of Maine or south abroad.
Or south abroad. Okay.
That strip on 4th north of Maine is really incredible. I think every spot is now taken with a restaurant. You've got Hadley's, you've got Mickey's, you've got Red Velvet, you've got the Palace, Camino.
Dirty Frank's.
Yeah. And that whole block.
Yeah.
Again, one of those neighborhoods that who would have thought?
Little
Palace, I think I said that. Yeah.
That's still there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rebooted, but also very good. Mm-hmm. And it's perfect because you've got all the students from CCAD, you've got the students from Franklin, and you've got the downtown people who can occasionally walk.
Is Mikey's Late Night Slicer on there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the first
north of Maine. The
first north of Maine.
Right.
Yeah.
And Maine.
And Hadley's is next door. And that's and on Maine we've got Walrus.
Mm-hmm.
And the bar. Sidebar. And
nice
unfortunately
place,
around the corner we no longer have Salt and Pine, but we do have the new De Novo facing the park, and we also have Condado in its second iteration.
The taco place.
Yes, the taco place, which is on
Short
it's
North.
A hop, if you drive by at night, it's just hopping.
Can't yeah. get well. Well I
a,
mean.
There's a bar there too, Rich. Right,
it's almost
right
impossible to get
Frank.
In sometimes.
Yeah.
Tacos are a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Very big deal. Taco Tuesday at the kitchen in German Village.
And of course, today is Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, happy Cinco de Mayo.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. Yeah. See, next year we'll have a Cinco de Mayo show.
Now, we
that?
Do have, let's see, Alva Caro's having. They were on TV this week. It was a mariachi band.
I was going to say a mariachi band.
Oh, my God. But I'm going to Cuco's today if I can.
Okay.
Cuco's Taqueria, my favorite, and Los Guachos.
Yeah.
So you got to.
We mentioned Cosecho, which is a high-end Mexican tapas. It's really good, and the margaritas are phenomenal.
It's a beautiful place, too. It's on. Okay. We're 900 block of North 4th,
yeah.
which is part of Rich's theme here, near 3rd, south of 5th on the west side. Big patio out front.
Another warehouse.
Beautiful.
Kind of
it
okay.
used to
redo.
Be a dairy.
Really?
A dairy barn. And there were cows in there. No, we won't go there. But it's a beautiful place and really interesting food. Check out the blog
teaching
on wsu.org/chefsinthecity because it's got some pictures of it and – I'm anxious to try the outside, too.
Yeah.
Not today, though.
It's really hopping. It's another one of those places that you get there early.
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
they do take reservations,
yeah.
though.
And it's nice because you have places where people are actually going in and sitting down, not just walking through a line and saying, I want the carnitas and the whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys, what makes your cut when it comes to writing about a restaurant? You know, I mean, Steve, you're prolific, but what triggers your decision to actually take the time to write about it?
Well, I check, you know, I try very carefully to check all the things that are going on around town through the, you know, but there's a network of people, the foodie people. Jim
yeah,
Boudreaux doesn't
use
like
that
the
word.
Term, but. A lot of people that
everybody
are really
knows what it means now. Sorry, Jim.
Get over.
My fun is to find the places before they're recognized and try them out. And
but you try a lot of places. What inspires you to actually write about one?
I care about people who care about food, made from scratch quality. you know, making their own stocks, making their own breads, making their own dressings and things like that. And I want the reason I do this is to really support the good guys, to support the people that really care about food and to support the Columbus restaurants.
Yeah, but that's the reason we've been big behind Dine Originals. And
locals.
And we seldom will review a chain restaurant unless it's only one of two or something.
And I noticed that Steve, you when somebody's excited about what they're doing, when you meet one of the proprietors are enthusiastic about what they're doing and they want to talk about their food, that you mentioned in your reviews as well.
It's a small world. The food world is very small, and there's a lot of interactions and a lot of interconnections that are going on here.
Well, chefs move from place to place, as we've talked about already.
All the young people. So many of these new restaurants are driven by young people and young entrepreneurs, the North Star people, Chris Crater, the people from the Crest. All these are young entrepreneurs.
From Little Eater, right?
So I think that's what's exciting too. The youth is driving a lot of this.
And sometimes it's a trend in food that it's a specific kind of restaurant. We're still trying to hunt up enough dim sum restaurants in town. And if one of those opens, we'll run to find it.
That's an area we're lacking in. French bistros we're lacking in.
What triggers you, Rich Terapak, as far as, okay, I'm going to write about this. This has inspired me.
Well, because there are places we try that we don't write about. Unless it deserves to be panned for one reason or another, we'll avoid it. What triggers it is just the same kind of thing, just really good food that's unusual. If it's just another burger joint, don't do it. But like in this Flavor 91, it's all grass-fed beef. It has just incredible seasoning. They make everything themselves. It's all local sourced. And it's just in a little tiny shopping center on East Main Street that was almost deserted. The shopping center is called Moses. And I asked the bartender, who seemed to be the owner, what his name was. And it's Moses. Go in and talk to Moses, who is very enthusiastic about it.
Well, that's a really important point about being careful about what we write about, because I have one that I've been to once that I wanted to write about because I wanted to be first on the street with a review, and I wasn't there with it. And I don't like to pan places. I think from public radio, I think there's that's an awkward thing. So,
and we know how much people invest in these things. Maybe they don't think a lot about their investment beforehand. But it's a shame.
But if you don't love it, you're not going to write about it.
No,
right.
That's right.
So I mean, that's one way for people to kind of understand where you're coming from and how you're approaching it. I know you guys aren't big on thrashing anybody. Yeah. Point well taken.
I left one out. I just remembered on North 4th. It's the new occupant of the Wonder Bread building.
Oh, yeah.
City Tavern. Which is a fun
spot. You've been there.
Yeah, I've been there. And I'm going to write about it. I'm still not retired enough, I think. I can't get it all done.
I had 100 reviews, by the way, for
you
WSU.
Hit 100 reviews?
In 4 years.
Yeah. Goodness.
It's a lot easier than doing 50 a year as I did with 6-10 years ago. Holy. But
see, you're slacking off.
A year. I know.
He is a
Well,
slacker.
There goes my waistline, too.
You're listening to All Sides Chefs in the City. My guests are going to be my co-hosts coming up through the coming months. Rich Terapak and Steve Stover, both WOSU food critics and bloggers. You can see their blogs at WOSU.org/chefs-in-the-city. If you have a question or comment coming up in the next segment, we're going to get to those. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Coming up next month, we're going to talk about bread baking, the bread baskets of Columbus, including will be Sarah Black from Flowers and Bread.
Yep.
It's the new bakery and cooking school. Cafe.
Great little sandwiches.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place, too. So look
Patricia
forward to
Wheeler
that.
Patricia does a good job with that kind of stuff. She's her design. She has a seasoned farmhouse.
Right.
And she has edible Columbus.
And, oh, yeah. It's just beautiful.
And she has style.
How did you guys start teaching cooking?
We started.
Rich Terapak.
It's somewhat self-effacing thing. Jim Boudreaux, who is a good friend, and it was part of our gourmet group, is part of our gourmet group, a group that still gets together and travels together. We're going to Sicily in September. He's always been a great chef. He calls himself just a good cook, but he's chef quality cook. And he did classes in Bexley at a place called Good Things, run by some friends of ours. And I liked the idea of the class, but I didn't want to pay my good friend down the street, $25 to go to his class. So I asked
probably wasn't even that.
So I asked if I could audit, and he said no. And he said, but you can help. And then I started helping with that, and gradually, besides just chopping, I would do the desserts or something while he was doing the grill. Then Steve and I started working together at the Ohio Ethics Commission, and Steve said, we can do this too. And we went to the Emporium.
Started the Emporium. We did a couple of sororities and then Overbury's Emporium.
Cooking glasses.
At the Continent. It's not there anymore, but it was a cook store, and it was a nice place. It just had about 12 seats at a counter. We did that, and it wasn't 3 months, and then Betty Rossbaum called us from La Belle Pomme at Lazarus.
And 12 years later, we were still
13 years later, we were there. We had famous chefs come in. It was really fun. And then we went to –
still see Betty.
I've never met Betty in person, but, of course, I've interviewed her several times now, and she's delightful.
She's great. We usually get together when she's in town. Yeah. Steve did the last one, and we'll have to include you.
Because she's just crazy
she's great
lady.
To talk about in beautiful books.
Then we went to Columbus State, their culinary program, for 8 years. And Carolyn Clacom was the director, famous of Carolyn's restaurant. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun. It was a little different. We still weren't doing knife classes and stuff like that. And then we went out to Faire La Cuisine in Granville for about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, 45 minutes.
We taught at
that's a commitment.
Yeah. As they opened 161, she closes. Yeah. It wasn't fair.
Honest to gosh, yeah. Where else? Faire La Cuisine in Granville. Oh, Sur La Table. We taught there for a couple of years.
Until it became corporate.
They wanted us to do Mongolian cuisine next Thursday, and here are the recipes. And we said, out of here.
Yeah, you got to cook your own recipes.
We want to do your own thing. And then Franklin Park and Season Farmhouse.
Is where you've been lately. And,
the new facility at Franklin Park is just great. The Wells Barn, if you in the community haven't been out to see the park, it's just great, and it's beautiful right now. But that barn is a great facility. It's got to probably triple their wedding usage.
It's the number one place, according to 614, for having a wedding in Columbus. Yeah,
Yeah.
We've had our mishaps. We were teaching at La Belle Pomme, and both the Lantern and the Columbus Citizen Journal wanted to do an article about us, and they came in with their cameras. And we were doing a Cajun class, Paul Prudhomme, which was the in thing at the time. Mm-hmm. And ice cream pies were the big thing.
And we'd been to New Orleans with our wives, both of whom were pregnant at the time, and dragged them around eating all over the place. And one of them was the Pontchartrain.
I can go everywhere, yeah.
Pontchartrain Hotel.
Yeah, ice cream thing. Yeah. So we are making this ice cream pie, which had a crust, then ice cream, and then meringue on the top when you pop it in the oven and bake it. Well, the photographers
it's
were running around.
Baked
both
Alaska.
The Lantern and the Citizen Journal were running around taking pictures. And by the time they got the pictures taken, it was an inch-high ice cream pie. It had all melted while they were taking pictures.
They were setting up permanent lights and shining them, with the umbrellas and stuff.
So they can't win them all.
That didn't appear in the paper.
As far as that went, you two aren't necessarily trained. You just learned on the job as teachers.
Just on the job. We're both attorneys, as you know. And,
right.
And that was our full-time job. And there's the theory behind this. A lot of food critics and cooks are attorneys. John Marshall, John Christensen, ourselves.
Right.
Because it's immediate gratification, which you don't get often in practicing law. So, we every once in a while through somebody coming to La Belle Pomme, and we'd help out with a class, a Jacques Pepin type.
Bougiali.
Yeah.
Marcella Hazan all came through La Belle Pomme, and we learned from them. We used to help. We used to be the choppers and helpers
in
those classes.
Yeah. Some were more fun than others. Marcella was not fun, but we won't speak ill. But she was very good. She's got great cookbooks.
That Those are my two co-hosts coming up in the coming months and weeks on All Sides Chefs in the City, rebooted. We're back after a six-month hiatus. We were ready and willing and able to take your calls about what's going on in Columbus restaurants. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And you can check out the All Sides Chefs in the City Facebook page. I think it goes under Chefs in the City. So check that out. Post your question or comment there. We'll get back with you. This is All Sides Chefs in the City on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to the new Chefs in the City on All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Joining me, WOSU food critic and blogger Rich Terapak, and also WOSU food critic and blogger Steve Stover. We've been talking about the rebooted Chefs in the City program, which begins today and continues on the first Friday of the month, hopefully for a good long while. Coming up next month, baker Sarah Black and her newly opened Flowers and Bread in Clintonville. Right now, we're going to take calls from listeners, mention your top picks for the new restaurants in Columbus. So let's grab a call right now. Bill in Clintonville, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to know if you comment, now that the Montgomery Inn is closed, what's the best rib place in Columbus now?
Disclaimer.
We've got a good friend who is involved with this restaurant. We've mentioned his name a couple of times. City Barbecue, I think, is probably, as far as consistently good, best rib place. What's the guy that used to be downtown, used to have?
Henry Butcher? No.
Yeah, the Yo-Yo?
Rook's Tavern? Yo-Ho.
Yo-Ho.
Yeah, they were there.
They may still be around on Oakland and Cleveland, I think.
That's where they were.
You know, they're not enough as far as we're concerned. But
right. At Rook's Tavern has barbecue.
That's
now.
New. Yep.
There's a truck, isn't there?
Yeah, there are a couple. Ray Ray's is another truck. For dining at home, Al Thurn's down on Greenlawn Avenue, which is open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning, has smoked spectacular smoked ribs.
All you have to do is eat them up.
Yeah, they're really
right.
Good.
Real good.
Okay, Bill, thanks a lot for that call. And Peggy in Worthington, you're on the air. Hi, Peggy.
Hey, I'm looking for a cooking class for a great niece. She's about 15 and a half years old. Something we could do together, but she would like to be a chef. So I'm not really looking for a one-off, you know, how to bake croissants. I want something that really starts teaching basic cooking skills and, you know, moves on. So what would you suggest?
You know, I think that, you know, most of what's offered is one-off stuff.
Yeah.
But the Season Farmhouse is somewhat in your neighborhood, and they do some themed classes. I can't think now of anybody who does just knife skills, for instance.
Oh, they do.
Do they?
It's part of a long series, but they do some of that.
And that's kind of a critical skill, as you know. The other folks is look at the Franklin Park Conservatory calendar, because they have something almost every week. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those are to an audience that doesn't cook much.
Sur La Table, Williams-Sonoma has classes. There's some proprietary cooking schools and Columbus State has
Columbus
things.
State.
But that's more for people who want to go into it as a living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what else there might be.
I was trying to think of classes for young people.
Yeah, that's right.
That I can't think of right now. We'll think about that. We might
post something on the Facebook page or something.
Does the Fort Hays Culture Arts do any culinary
things? I don't know.
Hmm.
Maybe somebody will know and can call in.
Yeah.
If anybody out there knows about good cooking classes for teenagers, give us a call. 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org, and you can post on our All Sides Chefs in the City Facebook page.
I think they'll want to find classes that are hands-on, too. Ours are demonstration classes, but they should probably want to find a class that actually allows the student to cook.
I know that Sur La Table does some of those. They're fairly small classes.
You said knife skills. Those are the basics. That's certainly how you manage a knife.
Yeah.
But so what are the skills? What are knife skills? What does that involve?
First of all, having a very sharp knife.
Right. And how to sharpen?
How to sharpen. Mm-hmm. Funny story about that. Chef Hanke was over for dinner with a bunch of friends, and I had one of the old kind of round steel sharpeners. The next day I found on my back doorknob one of those diamond edge ones, which works a heck of a lot better. Obviously, he didn't think much of my knife. You know, their knife skills, like always use a flat surface. Cut an onion in half. Don't cut it while it's round. Make a flat surface and make sure you know, keep your nails back. Rock your knife in most circumstances, except for things like celery where you chop.
That good, kind of thing.
Yeah, good primer, Rich.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Questions or comments, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have an email from Robert. He says, what's with all of the Southern comfort food and beer brewery establishments? As a couple, one is gluten-free, one is vegetarian, and both are healthy eaters. We are finding it harder, not easier, to find good options for us.
Well, those are trends. The Southern fried chicken has exploded. The Hubbard Grill or the Hubbard
Hot chicken
takeover. The Eagle specializes in fried chicken there. It's just a huge thing.
It's a thing.
And that is breaded. And so
and one can make money off of it because chicken isn't that expensive.
That's exactly right.
And so that's
and beer.
One, and that's the reason you have a lot of meatloaf.
And they go together.
And they go together. The you know, the North Star does a lot of stuff that would satisfy both of them.
And I also think that Lavash in Clintonville, the Middle Eastern place, he has a lot of vegetarian options and a lot of gluten-free. But it's gluten intolerance has become such a big issue that almost everybody has it. I mean, pizza places have gluten – Giuseppe's, I think, has a gluten-free option for pizza crust, for heaven's sakes.
And look at all of you know, go to Giant Eagle and you get two rows of gluten-free food.
And we did salmon rillettes at our cooking class this week, and we had – gluten-free crackers because we didn't want to serve it with bread. So it's even popping into cooking classes.
Yeah.
So, you know, do you think, I mean, when Robert says this, that they're finding it harder, not easier to find good options.
Well, if you're looking for fried chicken and beer, yeah, that's there are plenty of options now, I think.
Yeah, and I think almost every restaurant, even if it isn't their specialty, will have some options because they have to.
Go to the best restaurants because the best chefs are going to want to accommodate you and they will find stuff. For example, we took some friends out for dinner. We let them know ahead and they went out and got gluten-free bread for our guest who was gluten-free. And every dish he asked about, they could tell him if it was gluten-free. So I think that's really becoming a big deal.
One thing you might want to try in some of those restaurants is try the appetizers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're going to find a lot more that's gluten-free on the left side of the menu, which is the best place to find what the chef can do really well. The right side has to be the old standard steaks and chops.
I find myself going with the small appetizers as small plates more and more often now. Yeah. It's really all I really need to eat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you only can get a little more variety.
You only really taste, according to science, the first five bites.
Right.
Michael Mina.
Yeah.
The other thing is I like to try more stuff. So I can try three appetizers.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of, a salad and a big clunky option. Sometimes I've even had four.
And that's what's great about some of the tapas establishments because they're essentially appetizers.
And yeah. I'm kind of interested in how they make their money because, let's get another little plate. Well, let's get another little plate.
Yeah, all of a sudden, $67 later.
Well, I interviewed Cameron Mitchell once and he said, I'll never do small plates. Well, the Guild House is primarily built around small plates because you can make money. And that was really Brian Henshaw's.
Yeah, he let his executive chef do the menu there.
Amanda in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
So I heard your segment about kids and teens cooking classes that were hands-on. I'm actually the assistant resident chef over at Sur La Table at Easton. And we offer a lot of 3 and 5 day kids camps during the summer.
Fabulous. Thanks for calling in. We thought you did, but we plugged it, but we didn't know for sure.
How do those classes differ, Amanda, from adult classes?
They just differ like based on menu items, really. You get a lot of knife skills in those classes. All of the kids are really attentive, so they are pretty hands-on. We try to do some knife work ahead of time, especially for the younger kids, but teens, we let them do just as much as the adults do.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Amanda, so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
That's good to know because we frequently get that question, yeah.
Kate on Facebook wants to know the best place for happy hour on a Friday evening in the downtown area.
You came to the right place.
What's the best place?
Well, the newest place, and we think is pretty fun, it's got a limited menu as far as the food items, is the new Levesque bar, which is called The Keep.
Okay.
In the new Levesque Hotel, which is a gorgeous place.
Yes.
And it's a movie set. It's dark, you know, dimly lit and the beautiful furnishings and all that kind of stuff. It's open now. The restaurant won't be open until July. It's going to be a rather small kind of French restaurant, which is a good addition. But
they have a good happy hour?
Good happy hour. Good happy hour.
And remember, this is not the blue hair special we're going to.
Right.
We are on a quest to follow that star. Once a month, we go out with another couple and we go to happy hours. And we've been to almost
instead of the
10,
MCL.
Almost 10. Yes. I think our favorites are probably so far Lindy's, G. Michael's. They both have great happy hours. Sometimes you have to sit at the bar. Worthington Inn has a great one. They have
do.
A big tavern.
Giuseppe's.
We just did. Yeah, we're going to Hudson 29. And, the other place is up on Reed Road. I can never remember. Nicola's.
Okay.
They have a great happy hour. Yeah. I mean, they have
as far as. As far as downtown, I think Condado would be a good one. I think De Novo would be a good one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of those places along 4th Street, essentially,
you
it's happy hour
down
all
the
day
road.
Long.
Yeah, yes. I mean, yeah. You just walk down the road.
And, let us know.
But those aren't – we're getting out of downtown now, yeah. So they were looking for downtown.
Oh,
so.
Downtown. I was all over the place.
Yeah, we were all over. We were flying around.
Well, G. Michael's.
Hopefully that Lundy's helps, Kate.
Close enough.
Yeah. Let's see. We've got a couple people with some more ideas about classes for kids. Mindy in Dublin, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Yes, I was just going to remind, too, that there's the commissary. I know they're kind of under a transition right now, but they actually have a nice skills class planned for next week.
Oh, great.
So that's always a place to check out, and they do series classes and things like that.
I'm hoping to do a story about the commissary. I've been over there a couple times, and it's a cool place.
Yeah, I know. I know there's some, like I said, some transitions going on. I don't know.
Change in ownership. I think.
All right. Yeah. Mindy, thank you so much.
Food.
Email from Meg asks, do you know what's going on with the building atop the Smith Brothers warehouse? I've noticed there's some activity up there, too, but...
I've heard a rumor, as Steve would say, but I can't recall what it is. I think it's going to be another one of those rooftop dining issues.
Rooftop dining issues.
They used the downstairs space for wedding receptions and office parties and those things quite a bit. That's a popular location.
Email from David. Great show today. Thank you, David. I just want to say that I hope someone is thinking about parking issues in these exciting new developing areas of our city, specifically the new development of the North Market. Parking is already a nightmare in the Short North. For example, when they developed the Columbus Commons, they did not think about enough public parking.
Hear, hear.
Yep, you're absolutely
right. I agree, but the more I get out, the more I think, you know, a ride service.
Yep.
I don't want to give any... You know, any particular, I don't
want to
name any names, but
services.
And you don't have to worry about, CODA. You don't have to worry about parking.
Downtown.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay for parking. You don't have to worry about parking. So just a thought, but point well taken. Everybody agrees with that, David. Then Gwen in Carroll, Ohio. Hi, Gwen.
Hi. I just wanted to let you guys also make a comment with your young classes for kids for the cooking.
Uh-huh.
There is in Gahanna on Hamilton,
yeah,
just south of Morse, is Young Chefs Academy.
Oh wow. I remember. I drove by there, yeah.
Yes. So my niece has done several classes there. They do have through the summer themed classes, week long, but then they also have constant stuff where they're cooking with your parent or with a adult guardian, where you're learning your skills, learning how to use the different machine or, you know, culinary items.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great place.
Great.
And it makes sense for kids to start this, you know, as early as 11 or 12. And in Europe, all the great chefs start cooking at 13.
And Chef Hanke left home at 16.
Yeah.
On a bus.
Yeah. So, and it's a hard life. He made it.
He made it.
Yeah.
Okay. Pat and Bexley are on the air. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
I'm really enjoying your show. I'm just calling with a comment for the couple that said they were having difficulty finding vegetarian and gluten-free options.
Yeah.
Yep.
My husband's a vegan, and I can't eat wheat all the time. I don't have to go totally gluten-free, but I try to avoid it if I can.
Uh-huh.
So I have at least four suggestions for them.
Oh, good.
The number one is the Loving Hut out at Black Lick Plaza on East Livingston. This is a totally vegan restaurant, and there are a number. They mark their menu for if you want something. If they can make it gluten-free, they will. So there's nothing a vegetarian couldn't eat out there. In fact, all of my non-vegetarian and vegan friends think, are you sure this isn't chicken? It's really delicious, and the prices are quite reasonable, and it's really a cool place. There's also Zen Cha, which has several locations. They have a number of things that say we have a gluten-free option. Ob India has a huge vegetarian menu, and it's all rice, so gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, Cafe Istanbul has at least three very tasty vegetarian options and a lot of appetizers that you could eat without the bread, which happens to be my favorite, but it's still delicious even without the bread.
Yeah.
So those are four places they should be comfortable finding something to eat.
And
both
Ob
and Istanbul are right there in Bexley, by the way.
And Ob and Southern Indian, including Udupi and others, are vegetarian.
Well, just
too,
about any Indian restaurant's going to obviously have a lot of vegetarian associated with it. But Pat and Bexley, thank you so much. That's great. Very informative. Well, I just want to remind people, this is the new – did you want to say something, Steve?
Go ahead.
This is the new rebooted All Sides Chefs in the City. My host, they'll be taking turns, 1 week off, 1 week on, Steve Stover and Rich Terapak with me today to kind of kick off the show for you. We will be first Friday of every month. Yes, Steve.
I had
he's raising
wanted
his
to
hand
get this
care.
In before. This is sort of breaking news because I think this is an Ann Fisher exclusive. G.D. Ritzy's or Ritzy's is going to be reopening in Clintonville in the old A&W root beer at Garden and High.
Cool. That's
I've tasted
great.
The ice cream. Everybody.
And they promised the fries are going
to
be
I'm trying
made.
To visualize Garden and High. What are we?
It's,
can you
I
give
think
me
it's
some
near,
more?
Across from the old American Legion Hall.
Okay.
It's between Morris and Henderson, I think.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yep.
They'll be up on a website pretty soon.
All the things we've talked about today, I've gotten more reaction from that than anything else. So.
Ritzy's is coming back.
And I did want to add, in advance of the show next month, we'll have a blog posting on flowers and bread.
Yes.
Which I've done.
Rich Terapak has prepared a blog about flowers and bread. We'll have Sarah Black, one of the co-founders of Flowers and Bread. She came here from New York City to teach bread baking. She has
great
a new
product.
Book. She has a book out from last year, too. So she's a highly qualified and delightful person. We'll be talking to her next month. Note the changes. Check out our Facebook page, the All Sides Chefs in the City Facebook page. Check that out. If you have questions or comments about the show, tell us what you think. Check out the blogs. We'll have a link to Rich and Steve's blogs, Chefs in the City blogs, so you can get caught up on those. And
we'll have recipes for you.
Recipes. We're going to have recipes. There's a lot of new stuff we're going to be rolling out over the next few months. So stay tuned. First Friday of every month. And thank you so much for listening today. Thank you, Rich Terapak, for joining us. Appreciate your time as always.
Thanks so much, Ann.
And Steve Stover, thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks, Ann. This is fun.
I know. We're going to have a lot of fun. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Thank you to everybody. Thanks to the All Sides staff, producer Michael DeBonis, assistant producer Shia Lanat. Our All Sides intern, Sarah Stacy. We said goodbye to her yesterday. Kyle McKinnon's hanging on. We have a new crew coming on, joining us with the new semester, with video production by Rich Blue and Amber Blue. Alan DiCenzo is the composer of our theme music. WOSU News and Public Affairs Director Mike Thompson. Radio Operations Director Kevin Petrilla. Senior Broadcast Technician Eric French. And I dedicate this show to Marilyn Smith for all the years that she did such a beautiful job on this show. Marilyn, thanks for getting us started, and best wishes. See you in a few weeks. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.